Welcome to Children of the 80s.
I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Jim. And if you're just joining us for the first time, we want you to know that this is a podcast that looks back on the decade of the 1980s. We talk about things that were important to us as children and what we look back on now with fond memories as adults. Ultimately, this is a nostalgia podcast. And today, we are waxing nostalgia about what?
1980s TV commercials.
Sweet. This ought to bring back some good memories.
Yeah, one thing though that I found while preparing for this episode, not only will it bring back good memories, it will get catchy little jingles stuck in your head for the rest of the day.
Oh yes, those jingles will be there forever.
Oh, I'm sorry for what we're about to do.
I remember entering middle school and like Fruit Roll-Ups were like the big thing, and they would come on the morning cartoons. That commercial would come on like every cartoon that came on, the commercial would play in between. And man, that thing was stuck in my head like the entire sixth grade year.
So speaking of Fruit Roll-Ups, that reminds me of me seeing those commercials probably on Saturday mornings and just being like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. I have to have those. And begging my mom to buy them. And she bought a box and I didn't like them, so I wouldn't eat them. But that's the power of like a commercial, because I continued to be like, oh, I want those. Even though she had bought them, I had tried them, I didn't like them, I wasn't going to eat them.
So one time I was riding with my dad to one of his softball games, and we were on the way there in the evening, but obviously it was still sunny outside because it was during the summer. And he pulled over at like a gas station and he was like, here's a quarter, go get you a soda. And sodas only cost a quarter back then, huh?
Wow. Soda in a like a service station today would be like $2.
Yeah, but this was in a soda machine.
Okay.
Right? So I went to the machine. Okay. I went to the Pepsi machine and it had Pepsi and Coke and other things on there. And because of a commercial, I chose Tab. And when I came back all proud, holding my Tab, my dad started yelling at me, going, yes. What'd you get that for? You're not going to like
it. No, you didn't, did you?
Oh, it was. I was like, I am too going to like it because the commercial's fantastic. And no, I took like one sip and I'm like, this is the most disgusting thing.
So my papaw drank Tab. That's all he ever drank. Other than black coffee, he drank Tab. And I didn't know. I never questioned. I didn't drink it. I didn't want it. But like I found out later when I was much older, it was like a quote unquote like diet soda.
Yes. I did not know that. I just thought it was for beautiful people and I wanted to be beautiful.
So the commercials had beautiful people?
Yes. And then the jingle went like Tab Cola for beautiful drink for beautiful people. Well, I mean,
and that's still the problem with commercials in society. Like we always fall for it.
Listen, if I had my druthers, I would live forever in a Bud Light commercial because those people are always having fun.
Oh, my goodness.
And they always look happy.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would.
Or a Coors Light commercial.
I would want to be like in some kind of hair product commercial because they're beautiful with beautiful hair. And that's, of course, what I always have aspired to be.
See, I wanted to drink my Tab and then look at somebody and go, don't hate me because I'm beautiful.
So did you get any feedback from our last episode where we talked about family ties?
Yes, I did. I did get some feedback.
You did?
I did. My brother said, I think everybody in the world, and I can't believe we forgot to mention this during the opening credits, but he said, I think everybody in the world sat in the rolling chair and pushed themselves away from the desk like Alex Keith.
Yes. I talked to a couple of people on social media who thought that the the ending was sit where it sit ubu sit.
Good dog.
Yeah, and just like I thought as a child, they thought it was boo boo sit boo boo sit.
Oh really?
Yeah.
No, I never thought it was boo boo because it said in clear letters up there Ubu.
I mean,
UBU.
I could probably barely read when that came out. So of course I wasn't going to be looking.
Was that because you were young or because you grew up in the South?
You know what? I would have no trouble finding a new co-host in like 2 seconds.
Is co-host a pseudonym for something?
Yeah, for husband.
Oh, we kid. We kid because we care.
Oh, man, the time changed this week, and I'm dying over here.
I never liked the time change, and I feel like as the older I get, the harder it is for me to adjust.
Because I'm sitting here like, why do I feel like I was hit by a truck? It's because we were up and down all night. Like, our sleep was just, like, just non-existent last night.
Now, aren't you the one that wants to travel to Europe where there's 5-hour difference?
I do, yes. But I want to travel, like, that's, I just want to, like, retire and travel.
Right.
So I've got the first part. I have retired. I've just got to figure out the travel part.
The travel part will come after you unretire.
There you go. That's it. Yes, exactly.
All right, so you chose this topic. You did all the research. This is your show.
Oh, no.
I am just a small, minor part. But what they say, there are no small parts, just small actors.
Okay, so you ready?
I'm ready. Let's kick it off.
I've picked out 10 commercials from the 80s. It's when I sat down and I initially came up with my list that I was just kind of, you know, like, okay, how many commercials can I come up with off the top of my head? I didn't think I could come up with 10. I'm like, 10's going to be pushing it. I ended up coming up with, I think, about 20, maybe 18. So I kind of randomly picked the 10 that we're covering.
Okay.
I'm hoping one day I can convince you to do a part two to this episode.
Yeah, we're going
to
call this part one, and there will definitely be a part two, and I bet we can find enough to make a part three, because I didn't even hardly help you with this at all. So I'm sure that there are things that are stuck in my brain that you may not have think of, and as well as I'm sure that you've picked some things that I would have never thought of either.
So these are in no particular order.
Right. I'm not counting them down. No. Do you know how hard it is? Lately, we haven't been counting anything down, and I've always been a list person.
I thought all we did was count down.
And I've always been a comparison person. We haven't counted down in a long time.
Oh, I thought that's all we ever did.
But I do want to say that the reason why commercials were so popular in the 80s, why everybody, not that they were more popular than today, but everybody had the same 3 or 4 stations, right?
Yeah.
So we all watched the same commercials, and everybody across America heard these commercials over and over and over again. So with that, I'll let you take it away.
Do you remember, I can't think of where I would have heard this, but on like Countdown TV shows, or was it Countdown radio shows? And they would say the number and you would hear a swoosh, like number 10. Remember that? That's what I need. I need that sound effect.
I'm sure we can find that
number 10. Whoosh. You like that? Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Cereal commercials were so iconic in the 80s.
Especially as a kid.
Especially as a child of the 80s on Saturday mornings.
Yes.
It was cereal commercial after cereal
commercial. Cereal commercial and fruit roll-ups and maybe grain machines.
So I could have probably done 10 commercials, all cereal.
Yes.
But I've only picked one cereal, and that's the one we're going to get started with.
There's the cereal I treasure. Delicious fruit-flavored Trix. With this disguise, I'll capture some.
A rabbit! Silly rabbit, Trix for kids.
Yo, ho, ho. It's always no.
So I love how the rabbit always dressed up to try to fool the kids to get the Trix.
He always did. So during the 1980s, Trix cereal commercials featured the iconic Trix rabbit. The commercials commonly portrayed the rabbit's ongoing attempt to trick children into giving him a bowl of the colorful and fruity Trix cereal. I don't know about you, but I was a fan of just let the poor rabbit have some cereal.
I was just a fan of, I hope somebody buys me that cereal.
despite the rabbit's enthusiasm and clever disguises, He was always discovered in the act, leading to the famous catchphrase, "Silly rabbit, tricks are for kids." He did succeed, I don't remember this, in obtaining and eating Trix cereal on occasion, including 5 times as the result of a box top mail-in contest. 1968, which I didn't even know Trix cereal went back that far. 1976, 1980, 1984, and 1991.
So he got to eat the Trix cereal in those years?
Yep. So they did a mail in the box top, and you could check yes or no. You could vote on should the rabbit be able to eat the cereal or not.
Who would vote no?
The results of the vote were overwhelmingly yes, and the Trix rabbit was depicted in a subsequent commercial enjoying a bowl of Trix.
You know what? The people who voted no there, I bet they were just a bunch of old curmudgeons.
Probably. So a couple of things that stick out to me with this commercial. The children were real. The scenery around everything was real life. The rabbit was always a cartoon.
Do you think that's where they got the idea for Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I mean, maybe, but it wasn't like in a hokey way, right? I thought, felt like it was done really well.
Yes. Yes. I believed that the rabbit was real.
Yes. Yes. It was done, like I said, it was done really well.
He may have been the Easter Bunny.
Something else, though. I don't want the lemon flavor in my cereal.
Was there lemon flavor? Yes. See, I don't remember. I felt like they all tasted the same.
They probably in reality did. Why did you just throw out that Trix the Rabbit might be the Easter Bunny? Don't start that rumor. What's wrong with you?
Okay, so I want you to pick them in order. The Easter Bunny, Trix the Rabbit, Bugs Bunny, or Roger Rabbit.
What order?
Just go favorite to least favorite.
Okay, I'm going to start least favorite and go up.
Okay.
Roger Rabbit.
Okay.
What are my other?
Easter Bunny, Trix, and Bugs.
Bugs Bunny.
Oh my gosh.
Trix the Rabbit and the Easter Bunny's my favorite.
No,
He brings me chocolate.
Come on. I'm going Bugs because he brings me laughter every day. The Easter Bunny comes once a year. He's got to work harder to get my thing.
You could go buy yourself chocolate.
And then I'm going Trix the Rabbit because he brought me cereal. And even if he didn't bring me cereal, he was the mascot for yummy cereal. And then I'm going the Easter Bunny, and then I'm going Roger Rabbit because he never did a thing for me.
Did you eat Trix cereal?
Absolutely, I ate Trix cereal. It wasn't my favorite. It probably wasn't even my top 5, maybe top 10, but I still loved it.
I've never had it in my life.
You've never had Trix cereal in your life?
You know what we should do? I mean, we should do like a video, and I don't even know how to do video, so I mean, what are the odds we'll ever get this done? With me trying all the kids' cereal, I've never had them. I've never had any of them.
You've never had any cereal at all?
Captain, well, you know, I'm addicted to Cheerios.
Yes.
Cheerios and Chex cereal are the only cereals I've ever had in my life.
You were getting ready to say Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch, I talked my mom into buying a box of that one time, and I, like, didn't eat it, and of course then
that you didn't eat it at all.
I tried it,
but did it leave the roof of your mouth raw?
Yeah, I think it did. Yeah. And that's why I was like, heck no.
Captain Crunch did that for everybody, but as a kid it was 100% worth it. And Peanut Butter Crunch was even more worth it. Peanut Butter Crunch could have left the top of my mouth raw and the bottom of my mouth raw because it was that good.
No, because like it took a good 24 hours for it to recover.
You know what I liked? I liked Apple Jacks. You can't go wrong with Apple Jacks.
Was that a frog? So the frog?
No, that was Sugar Smacks.
Oh, okay. We have gotten so off track here.
We have.
But I always rooted for Trix the Rabbit, and I didn't remember that he ever got to taste the cereal. I'm so thankful he did.
I always rooted for my mom or grandma to bring home Trix the cereal.
What was the most common cereal in your house?
Corn flakes.
Yes. Yes.
Unsweetened.
Just corn flakes.
Not frosted flakes. Just corn.
Yep. Flakes. Oh, I know. In my grandparents' house, that was the cereal.
And it probably wasn't even Kellogg's corn flakes.
So do you know what poor people do?
It was probably Jimmy Bob's corn flakes.
I want to know if you ever had to do this, because I know we both grew up with not a lot of money. We bought like some bland cereal, like corn flakes. Put it in a bowl with milk, and then you sprinkled sugar on top.
Yes, absolutely. That's
you
what we did.
That. That's
yes.
a poor person's thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, those who grew up on the other side of the tracks, they never did that.
No, they
just got the sugary cereal.
They have no idea what that's like.
But yeah, we had to put sugar on the... I was so disappointed the first time I tried Cheerios. I'm like, this is nasty.
Because
they were like,
what?
Here, dump some sugar on it.
Oh, I see.
Right? Not Honey Nut Cheerios.
But did that make
Cheerios.
It any better? I don't think it did.
No, the only thing that was better was corn flakes, but the sugar for me was never evened out. It was like me and salad dressing right now. Like there's clumps on some pieces of lettuce and then nothing on the other.
Jim,
and that's how the sugar was.
Jim hates to eat salads for that reason.
For that reason and that reason only.
He gets super frustrated
get
with
me
the dressing
a Get
portion.
Me a professional salad tosser and I'm all in.
Oh, I don't like that at all. Okay. So moving right along, I'm going to need a little bit of help from you on this one because I don't really remember these commercials. This is kind of the one that you came to me and you were like, this has to be on your list. I vaguely remember it. So let me play a little snippet of it.
Okay.
And then I wrote a little something, but I may need your help.
I will help.
We're up 15. We got this game won.
Yeah, you guys are buying a light beer from Miller.
Yeah. Flash, flash, Philly.
Flash, flash,
light beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer, and less.
Hey, wait a minute. This game isn't over yet. I caught that ball.
So.
Yeah.
In the 19, let me tell you what I came up with.
Okay.
You tell me, you know, how spot on I am. In the 1980s, Miller Lite commercials became legendary with their famous slogan and ongoing debate of taste great, less filling. These commercials for Miller Lite beer began in 1974 and ran through 1991, leaving a lasting impact
mm-hmm.
on pop culture.
Yes.
The advertisements often featured humorous scenarios and memorable characters like Bob Uecker and Rodney Dangerfield, who became synonymous with Miller Lite commercials during that time. One noteworthy aspect of the Miller Lite commercials from the 1980s was their focus on, you're not going to like this, on male pitchmen, with women typically depicted as decoration or playing stereotypical roles.
Yes.
Do you agree or disagree with that, sir?
I agree with that statement. Here's what I love about the Miller Lite commercials. Tastes great, less filling, right? One side was like, I drink it because it tastes great. The other side was like, I drink it because it's less filling. That side was full of crap. Okay. Yeah, you may like it because it doesn't bloat you up or it doesn't have as many calories, but you're not drinking it if it doesn't taste good, right? If it was less filling and tasted like cornflakes without sugar dumped on it, you're not eating it or you're not drinking it.
So did it taste bad? Would it taste like Tab?
I didn't drink beer in the 1980s.
Oh, okay. Well, I know. I would hope not.
No, Miller Lite, and this may tick off our friends in Wisconsin and maybe Minnesota, but Miller Lite is like drinking pee water to me.
Well, but you grew up in St. Louis where there's Busch beer.
Yeah,
so.
But as I got older, my taste actually switched and I headed for the Rockies.
Did you just say pee water?
Pee water. That's what Miller Lite is.
Oh, no.
If you're going to go light beer, go Michelob Light or Coors Light. So here are the characters that I remember. So I love those commercials in the 70s and in the 80s.
Okay.
So the characters that I remember, and I watched that commercial earlier. It was a softball commercial. I don't remember that commercial at all. I remember other commercials. But just in that quick little setting there, I saw Billy Martin. The great manager of the Yankees,
okay.
The five-time manager of the Yankees. Obviously, Rodney Dangerfield, who I don't remember being in those commercials. I saw Frank Robinson, Hall of Famer Frank Robinson, and also, I believe, the first black manager in Major League Baseball. I saw Dick Butkus. I saw Bob Uecker, John Madden, Bubba Smith, who was a football player, but would also go on later on to star in 137 Police Academy movies. I saw the great Deacon Jones, defensive end of the Los Angeles Rams back in the 60s. I saw Red Auerbach, Hall of Fame coach for the Boston Celtics, and I saw Ray Nitschke, Hall of Fame linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. Wow. And there were others in there. I just couldn't catch all of them, but those are the ones that I caught. There was some blonde dude in there that I thought looked familiar, but he looked like a mix between Dusty Rhodes and what's the guy's name that did Smokey and the Bandit? Jerry Reed. So he looked like a mix between Dusty Rhodes and Jerry Reed, but I couldn't recall who that was. But those are the people I remember. I love those commercials because it was always like some kind of fight or just some ridiculous over-the-top commercial, right, where something would break or they'd, you know, get into a bar fight or whatever. And so those commercials just always made me giggle. And then, of course, you had later on Bob Uecker, you know, at the baseball game by himself promoting Miller Lite, talking about, you know, I drink it because it's less filling and tastes great. Now, that may be the truth. But then he would go down towards, you know, the box seats and they'd be like, no, buddy, you're in the wrong seat. And then they'd put him way up at the, he'd go, I must be in the front row. And they'd put him way up at the top of the stadium with nobody around him.
In the nosebleeds.
In the nosebleeds, you know, like 3 feet from the top of the stadium. And he's watching the game screaming, he missed a tag, as if he could see that from, you know, 3 miles away.
I feel like I remember that.
Yeah.
But I always liked Bob Uecker, so maybe that's why.
I do too. I still do.
Okay, we ready to move on? This one, this is a classic. Everybody is going to remember this one.
Pardon me, would you have any Grey Poupon?
But of course.
Grey Poupon, one of life's finer pleasures.
Grey Poupon.
Grey Poupon.
So do you know who had Grey Poupon?
Who?
Those kids that didn't have to put sugar in their cornflakes.
Yes, yes. Okay. So the commercial pointed out that one can enjoy the finer things of life with white wine mustard without paying high prices. The commercial shows a Rolls-Royce pulling up alongside another Rolls-Royce. Have you ever seen a Rolls-Royce out in just in everyday life?
Didn't we see Steve Harvey driving convertible Rolls-Royce?
You know what? Yeah.
Down the road, like on a Saturday from our house?
Yes, we sure did. We're driving along and like,
I'm like, look at that sweet white Rolls-Royce.
The car got my attention driving next to us. And then, of course, there's Steve Harvey and his big old mustache. Yeah,
and I was like, isn't that Steve Harvey?
You know, he was going to the bank. Anyway, so I didn't even mean to set you up on that one. But, you know, as a kid, you think you've seen these commercials and you just assume, well, you know, I'm going to see all these different Rolls-Royces out there. And
so when did this commercial come out?
1981.
Okay. So I remember knowing that was a Rolls-Royce in 1981 because the only other place that I had seen a Rolls-Royce, say that 5 times fast.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Was in the movie Arthur, which also came out in 1981.
Yes. Okay. I even stopped mid-sentence. So let me. So is it two Rolls-Royces?
Two Rolls-Royce.
They pull up along beside each other, probably at like some kind of a traffic light. The men in the back seats of each car roll their windows down. One says to the other one, pardon me, would you have any Grey Poupon? And the other one says, but of course, and then hands the bottle of mustard across to the guy in the other car. The closing shot is of the Grey Poupon jar being passed between the two vehicles. In one variation of the commercial, the characters are on the Orient Express. I think I remember that.
I think I do too.
So, what is it common if you have a Rolls-Royce that you also have a driver? Okay.
Correct.
And you're sitting in the back. Eating a meal.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What do you Do you have like some Wonder Bread and some boar's head meats back there or something and some fine cheeses? Like, so, why are you making a sandwich in the back of your car?
No, he's not making a sandwich. He's eating a steak.
Oh, he's eating a steak?
And he's going to apparently put mustard on that steak, but it's beef. Who puts mustard on a steak? I don't know. I went down a rabbit hole researching this. Do you know Malcolm Gladwell has written like a whole article about like the Grey Poupon phenomenon of the 80s?
If you refresh my memory, I may remember. I've read a lot of Malcolm Gladwell books.
It was really cool.
Let me know.
So basically, this commercial, this ad campaign, it moved the Grey Poupon from the specialty food aisle, where it wasn't getting much attention, to the mainstream condiment aisle right next to French's mustard.
You know why?
Why?
Because Americans are dumb, and they thought if they ate Grey Poupon, they might get a Rolls Royce.
Yes. So I remember at some point as a child opening the refrigerator, and there was a Grey Poupon in our refrigerator, and I was shook.
You were shook?
I was shook because I had never seen anything but like French's yellow mustard. I mean, I'd seen the commercials. I knew what it was.
Right.
But I was blown away.
In my life, I can honestly say that I have never seen a jar of Grey Poupon in any domicile that I have lived in. And I've lived in a lot.
Now, is Grey Poupon the kind of mustard that you dislike the taste of?
Is it Dijon mustard?
I think so, yeah. Yes,
I absolutely hate it. I remember the first time I asked you to get me a sandwich from Subway or Publix or Kroger or whatever, and you completely ruined it for me because I told you I wanted mustard, and instead of getting me the yellow French's mustard or the yellow Heinz mustard, you went with that nasty Dijon mustard, and it was literally like eating cornflakes without putting sugar on top of it.
See, I love that flavor on my sandwich. No. So it never crossed my mind you would just want yellow mustard.
Oh boy, that was a waste of $6 or $7 or whatever it was back then because I couldn't eat it.
So here's one little last tidbit that I thought was just really random. The Grey Poupon name has appeared frequently in hip hop and rap lyrics since the early 90s. The brand is mentioned in songs by Kanye West, Eminem, Big Sean, Jay-Z, Kendrick Lamar, and T-Pain.
Really?
Yes.
All the big ones.
Because it's a sign of wealth.
Right.
And opulence and whatever those
big ones are. And Rolls Royces.
There you go. They have many Rolls Royces.
I'd like to make me a sandwich in the back of a Rolls Royce someday.
Yeah, me too. With a Steve Harvey driving?
Sure, but... You know, or just a butler.
Okay.
Arthur's butler.
I was going to say a butler as in Lindsay Butler.
No, as in Arthur's butler. He was a wiseacre.
Oh, okay. So we're going from cereal to what?
Miller
to
Lite.
Beer. Mm-hmm. To mustard. To coffee.
All right. We're staying in the...
It's the best part of waking up.
Oh, I know what that is. That's Folgers in your cup.
Day's looking new and bright, and you're gonna start it right. Folgers starting to brew, the aroma's calling you. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Mornings are...
Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about Folgers in this campaign.
Other than it's the best part of waking up?
Yes. The Folgers commercials from the 1980s delivered heartwarming stories centered around the joy of a fresh cup of coffee. Many of these commercials featured family gatherings during the holidays with the aroma of Folgers coffee drawing everyone together. The memorable jingle, I can't say it without singing it, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup, became synonymous with the brand. These commercials emphasize the comforting and nostalgia-inducing qualities of Folgers coffee, portraying it as an important part of special moments and family bonds. So, do you remember the commercials? This is why I thought Folgers was special. Do you remember the commercials which show it wasn't a pop top? You had to get out... The can
yes,
opener.
Yes, it was a canister, yes. Yes. You had to get out a can opener and open it up.
So that made it, in my eyes, almost like the Grey Poupon.
Because you thought it was bougie?
It was special, yeah. Oh,
special.
It was like extra.
So we've had Folgers, I believe, when we've run out of our real coffee desperate.
It is not the best part
of waking up. It is not the best part of waking up. The best part of waking up is staying in bed and not waking up. The best part of waking up is 10 a.m. on a Saturday.
Yes, I agree with you on that.
But with that being said, I can imagine a scenario where we wake up on the holidays and there's family in town and we're all downstairs sitting around drinking coffee and just being happy with our pajamas and in our robes and possibly with a pipe.
Yes, and slippers.
And slippers. And everybody just having a good time. And that will never, ever happen because I'm never in a good mood in the morning.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, shut up, don't talk to me. Even if you are a loved one that I haven't seen in years, shut up, don't talk to me. The only time I'm happy in the morning with family members drinking coffee is when we're on our way to Disney.
There you go. There you go. So I found this to be interesting. The jingle was recently sold off. So
you can sell off a jingle?
Apparently, because they did. It was auctioned off recently. The starting bid was $63,000. It sold for $90,500. So there is a person...
Was it at the gala that we attended this weekend?
Yeah, exactly. So there is a person out there who bought this jingle and will receive all future royalties whenever the song is played in a TV ad, radio ad, internet ad.
So you stop that commercial before it sings the jingle.
I know.
Because I don't have the money to be paying royalties.
I know. I know. It's crazy, right? I got one more thing, though, that came up, popped up in my mind. Do you remember there was also a Folgers commercial, I think it may have been for instant coffee, where they went to a restaurant and they set up two coffee cups and people drank from each cup to see which they liked better. And they always picked the Folgers instant coffee, even though they would never drink instant. Do you remember that?
I think that sounds vaguely familiar. And after trying regular brewed Folgers, I could see why you'd pick the instant.
So... Oh, that's hysterical.
It's not good.
My sweet little grandmother used to drink instant coffee. Can you believe that? Nasty.
Speaking of instant coffee, do you remember fill it to the rim
with
brim? Yes. Brim was the instant coffee, and you would want to fill your coffee cup to the rim because it was so good, and also mostly because it rhymed with brim.
We're going to do this one next. I don't have a ton of info on this, so I am really, really hoping that you got some strong memories.
So that's one of the great jingles of all time.
It really is. That's one of the ones that's been stuck in my head now.
That is truly one of the great jingles of all time. Was that thunder and lightning I heard in the middle of the commercial?
Sounded like it, which is totally random because the sun's always shining in those commercials. So I don't know really what that was.
So I have a question. How many people in this world have you ever called Big Red?
Oh, are you setting me up?
I'm just saying.
So in my world, Big Red growing up, Big Red wasn't a gum. Big Red was a large red-headed lady that lived in the woods.
That you were afraid of.
That I was scared to death of. She was real. She was, unfortunately, she was unhoused. As a child, I did not know that. It was like, I had older cousins, and she was like a myth. Like, you know, watch out, you know, for Big Red. Stay in your bed at night, or Big Red will get you.
Big Red was like Kaiser Soze.
So Big Red lived in, you know, the woods at an intersection, and she had a much older gentleman friend that lived with her. And I remember one time I was at the grocery store with Nanny, and we bumped into Big Red, and I literally, as like a 4 or 5, 6-year-old kid, almost had a heart attack and died.
Were you like Kevin in Home Alone when he runs into his neighbor in the store?
Yes, that's exactly what I was.
I picture Big Red's older man friend looking like the neighbor in Home Alone.
Yes, he kind of did. And seeing her, like, for my own eyes, it was the first, it may have been the only time I actually literally saw
her. Then how did you know it was Big Red then?
Oh, Nanny told me it was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. After the fact or walking up?
Probably, like, 2 feet from the person, she probably did her, like, stage whisper.
Well, knowing Nanny,
Don't look, there's Big Red.
So, yes, I remember that commercial. I remember the jingle, obviously. I remember lots of kissing going on in the commercial. Lots of beautiful people in
Do
that
you
commercial.
Remember how
just
white,
like in Tab.
White and shiny their teeth are.
Yes, I remember that. And while it's not a Big Red story, I do have a story. When I was in high school, when I was a senior in high school, we had a mass comm class. And part of one unit that we had, maybe it might have even been one whole quarter of a semester, we had an advertising campaign. And there were five products that he split us up into four or five or six groups or whatever. And there were five products that you could do an ad campaign for. And you could pick one, you could pick five, you could pick anywhere in between. If you won the sponsorship, then you got an A. And if you didn't, you got an F. And
whoa.
So
there was no middle ground.
There was
here.
No middle ground. Me and we were like, whoa, that's kind of harsh. We had been warned, right, by previous students, and we were like, oh, that's kind of harsh. And he's like, listen, I'm treating this like the real world. He was like, you go in and give your advertising campaign, and you either get it or you don't.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you don't get paid. So we chose to do pizza, and we chose to do toothpaste. And so the pizza we're not going to get into, we ended up winning the pizza. We did not end up winning the toothpaste because we changed directions in mid. So we had great posters, we had great billboards, all that stuff. But when it came time to film our commercial, what we wanted to do was go around and get couples kissing so we could play some kind of jingle like Big Red, and you'd see people kissing. And we'd talk about how minty fresh our toothpaste was or whatever. We didn't end up going with that. We didn't end up going with the couple's kiss, and we went with something else and got, we lost.
And got an F.
Well, no, we didn't get enough because we won the pizza, so we got an A.
Oh, okay.
But we went someplace, and we were, like, videotaping our friends kissing their girlfriends or our friends kissing their boyfriends. And I remember we got home, and for some reason my brother popped in that tape, and he was watching it. My dad comes in. He's like, what the hell is this?
What? Too much kissing for your dad.
Yes. Yeah, too many teenagers making out. So
I have a question. In the commercial, you see a picture of a little gum. It's got a white stripe down the middle.
No, it wasn't stripe gum. Wasn't that funny stripe gum?
What
Big Red? Wasn't Big Red like, it was like Spearmint or Doublemint? It was made by Wrigley,
so
right?
So you saw a big piece of Big Red, and then above it was the little piece of gum, and it had a white stripe, and it was red on top and bottom. Was that the competition?
I've never
seen gum like that before in my life, in real life.
I have no idea.
That's the gum I wanted as a kid. Forget your Big Red.
I was good with Big Red. It was cinnamony, and
spicy.
Kind of spicy.
That's what we call it in this house. It's spicy.
Kind of spicy with a cinnamon flavor. And I also like the Spearmint and the Double Mint and the Double Mint Twins and the Juicy Fruit.
Juicy Fruit. It never lasted long enough. Juicy Fruit lasted like 15 seconds.
Juicy Fruit died out faster than any of the other three for sure.
Okay. You ready? Let's move on. Let's move on to one of my favorites in this podcast.
We have selected a bottle for our new premium wine cooler. And we were about to print up a label when Ed called to my attention the fact that we did not yet have a name for our product. But we decided just to call it the Bartles and James Wine Cooler, because my last name is Bartles and Ed's is James. If you don't like the name, please don't tell us, because we've already printed up our labels. Please buy some, because frankly, from our point of view, there's no other wine cooler anywhere that's nearly as good at any price. It would also be a personal favor to Ed, because he took out that second on his house, and pretty soon he's got a big balloon payment coming up.
And we thank you for your support.
Isn't that great? Don't you love that?
Okay. So why did that work? Because that seems like the most dull commercial
That's
of all time.
That's why it worked.
But it worked perfectly.
That's
they
why
were
it
just like two, I bet they were two old dudes from like Wisconsin or something like that, that were just like good down-home fellas, salt of the earth. And they just told it like it was, and they created this wine cooler, and that's what they did.
So it was, the characters were Frank Bartles and Ed James. Bartles did most of the talking. I'm not sure that James ever talked. He was always kind of off to the side or in the background.
He talked.
It was not often.
One talked more than the other.
He was the strong silent type. The commercials were known for their folksy charm and catchy taglines, capturing the attention of viewers during the 1980s. Bartles and James wine coolers gained a loyal following with their distinct advertising approach. And he always ended the commercial with his tagline, and thank you for your support. Do you remember the commercial where they were flying in a biplane?
Yes. Yes. I remember all those commercials.
They were flying in a biplane over a beach, and they were dropping crates of wine coolers out to the beachgoers down below.
You know why I think it caught everyone's attention? Because it was... There was no score. There was no music. There was no jingle. It was almost like you went from noise to just silent and this old feller talking that and could be your grandpa.
Right. He's talking like he's your grandpa. And he's just like honestly talking. He's not trying to BS you.
Right.
He's telling it to you like it is. So these commercials helped the company sell around 120 million gallons of wine coolers in the mid-80s.
Wow.
So...
120 gallons.
Yeah.
So each bottle was probably 12 or 16 ounces?
120 million gallons.
Holy cow, that's a lot. I just remember Bartles and James. I just remember Pauly Shore and son-in-law seeing the old grandpa. Yes. It's like, which one are you, Bartles or James?
Yes.
You're so huge in our college circuit.
So wine coolers were such a popular thing in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it just very quickly died out. The government started, we won't go down too far on this, but the government started taxing wine coolers at a much higher rate.
Than beer?
Yes. So that kind of ended
interesting.
Bartles and James. So now we have what is it everybody drinks, like White Claw?
Did the government start taxing it because they were afraid that the country was just going to be run by old people? First Reagan, and then Bartles, and then James?
Yeah, probably. Probably. But as a kid...
It's a good thing it's not like that nowadays.
But Jim, but as a kid, I saw those commercials. I wanted to drink it. Of course, I didn't know it was alcohol. But, like, it got my attention.
Well, that's why they got rid of the Spuds McKenzie, right?
Yeah.
Like, because they thought it was appealing to kids.
So in college, I can say this now, my parents are gone. I have no one I can need to answer to. But in college, I drank wine coolers. That's what I drank. So...
My parents are gone. I have no one to answer to.
I have no one that can call me out. Well, no, that Eugene will listen and I'll get in trouble with
yes.
her. But,
yes.
But yeah, that was like, there's nothing better than a good wine cooler. Anyways, I miss Bartles and James. They were not folksy in real life.
No.
One was an actor. The other one, I want to say he was like a builder or something.
I thought you were going to say he was an assassin.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the quiet one. You know what they say about the quiet ones. Okay, you ready?
What do we got next? From bikes to trains to video games, it's the biggest toy store there is. Gee whiz! I don't want to grow up, because maybe if I did, I couldn't be a Toys R Us kid. More games, more toys. Oh boy, I want to be a Toys R Us kid. How cute to video is this? Games.
So cute.
So I didn't know all the words, but yeah, that Toys R Us jingle was always stuck in my head. And I still say that. I still sing that to this day, right? But it's basically because I don't like being an old man.
So kids in the 80s grew up, we sang this. Like, we sang this little jingle.
Yes.
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us
But that
kid.
Wasn't true. We wanted to grow up.
So, we wanted to grow up so we could drink Bartles and James
yes.
wine coolers. And then we got here and it's like, oh my gosh, I want to go back and be a kid again.
Or figure out if we liked Miller Lite, whether it was less filling or tastes great.
Yes. So the initial ad that featured I Don't Want to Grow Up, I'm a Toys R Us Kid came out in 1982. Do you know who co-created this jingle?
Alan Thicke.
James Patterson.
The writer?
Yes. He co-created it with Linda Kaplan Thaler. I just had to throw her in there because I didn't want to leave her out. I have no idea who she is. But at the time, they were both working at the same advertising agency. The commercial, I just played a piece of. It had a few fringe actors, musicians in the commercial as they're children. I'm not going to list them out because it wasn't anybody I had ever heard of.
Okay.
You may have heard of them. But the last one, little boy on a swing, and it's Jaleel White. Steve Urkel. It's
Urkel.
Steve Urkel, yes. Toys R Us remade the commercial in 1996, bringing back a few of the original actors from the 1982 commercial to recreate the commercial, like, verbatim. So if the kid was on the swing, the adult was on the swing. If the kid was on a tricycle, the adult's on a tricycle.
So 6'9", Jaleel White was on the swing?
Jaleel White did not come back to the 1996 commercial.
He was too big.
He thought he was, yeah.
Too big for his britches.
Yeah, he was. They were pulled up too high.
You go back home, Urkel.
So, do you know the Toys R Us giraffe's name?
Gerald?
Gerald the giraffe.
Gerald!
Jeffrey the giraffe.
Jeffrey, yes. With a G.
Okay, here's another one for you that's going to get in your head, and there it's going to live.
Hefty.
Bags are fine for wimpy jobs, but don't send one to do a hefty job. When the pressure's on, hefty stretches where wimpy bags break.
Wimpy.
Do you remember that?
Hefty.
Wimpy.
Yes, I 100% remember that. Who was the lady doing the voiceover? Do you know?
No, I have no
kind
idea.
Of sounded like the brawny lady.
It kind of did. Yes, you're right, it did. So, this was the first... Like, seeing this commercial was the first time I ever thought about that there was such a thing as a trash bag. Right?
You don't think about that as a kid. You're just like, there's the trash can, throw it in there.
Yeah, exactly. So this commercial made me think, not only are there such a thing as trash bags, but apparently there's a good brand and a bad brand.
Apparently they rip at the... They rip as if Freddy Krueger's getting into them unless they're hefty.
And that's what it shows in the commercial. It shows... It's like a split screen. Somebody with the, you know, no-name brand, and their bag rips and just trash goes everywhere. And then somebody with the hefty bag, and they've got it packed full, and it's holding on.
Can you imagine Freddy Krueger or Edward Scissorhands trying to tie up the bags and get them out to the trash?
I'm not even sure Hefty could withstand
that. No, I don't think so.
But yeah, hefty, wimpy.
I remember hefty cinch sack too.
Yeah.
That was where you could do the drawstrings. Right?
Was that like the first time like that feature had ever been created?
I think so.
That's pretty crazy because now that's something that we use and we don't even think about.
I do not use a trash bag without that.
Oh yeah. Right. Cause I've made that mistake by buying those by accident.
And I made you go buy the other ones. So I'm not tying that thing up.
Okay, here we go. This one you're gonna like.
Time to make the donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts are always fresh.
I made the donuts.
We make them at least twice every day.
Time to make the donuts.
Not a few kinds, like supermarkets.
Made the donuts. Time to make the donuts.
But up to 52 varieties.
The donuts.
So, Dunkin' Donuts commercials from the 1980s featured the iconic character Fred the Baker. So, that was Fred we just
heard. He looked like a Fred.
He was played by actor Michael Vail and had the famous tagline, "Time to make the donuts." The humorous and widely recognized campaign showcased Fred's dedication to waking up early and making fresh donuts every day, making him a memorable and beloved character. The ad was so popular, it ran for 15 years. And it was named one of the 5 best commercials of the 1980s by the Television Bureau of Advertising. So, Fred the Baker was so popular that when Dunkin' Donuts decided to retire the ad campaign, the chain surveyed customers to determine the reaction to the move. Customers said that it was okay that Fred retired as long as he was treated like an honored employee. So the company created an official retirement celebration for him, including a parade in the city of Boston and a free donut day that served over 6 million customers on September
22nd, 1997.
How crazy is that?
That is kind of crazy. So Fred started in, what, 82?
Yep.
And he went to 97 and he retired?
Yep.
Fred was waking up.
I'm sorry, 1981.
1981, okay. So Fred was waking up about as early as you were waking up when I first met you you were working on the morning radio show.
Yes, yeah, he had to get up early. Do you know now Dunkin' Donuts, they don't make any donuts in-house. They truck them in every day.
Well, that's no good.
I mean, yeah, way to remember Fred, guys.
Right, you're ruining Fred's legacy.
Yeah.
And you're treating me with stale donuts and not fresh, tasty donuts. And that's why I moved to the South and started going to Krispy Kreme, where they make them in-house and they make them hot. And when you get them when they're hot, you put them in your mouth and they just melt.
They do.
You don't even have to chew.
They literally, if you've never had a Krispy Kreme donut and you get one hot, fresh and hot, they will literally melt in your mouth. You will be tempted to eat five, like immediately. Do not. Because they land in your gut like a brick.
Well, it's basically like eating cotton candy in a donut shape.
You could easily eat five, but I'm telling you, once they get to your belly, it will not be pretty.
Well, and I would say don't eat them because there's zero nutritious value whatsoever.
We're talking
there's
about donuts.
Negative nutritious value.
We're talking about donuts here.
I know, but you can eat like a thick, you know, cake Dunkin' Donut and be like, okay, that's enough. You can't eat a hot Krispy Kreme and be like, okay, that's enough. You're going to want another one. It's like crack cocaine.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, so the best thing is to just don't even get started.
Don't do drugs, kids, and don't do hot Krispy Kreme donuts.
So I think I've saved the best for last.
What are you, Vanessa Williams?
You can tell me this is the best one.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
At Wendy's, we serve a hamburger we modestly call a single. And Wendy's single has more beef than the Whopper or Big Mac. At Wendy's, you get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef?
Okay.
Yes, that is the best. All of these commercials are pretty iconic, but that one got everybody. You had this little 2'7" old lady who talked and sounded exactly like my grandpa going, where's the beef?
So let me tell you a little bit about the campaign and about her.
Just tell the folks what the product is in case they don't remember.
The Where's the Beef campaign for Wendy's came out in 1984, and it had a huge impact on pop culture. The advertising campaign starred an elderly lady named Clara Peller, who played the role of a customer frustrated with the lack of meat in the competitors' burgers.
The competitors' burgers.
Peller's iconic line, "Where's the beef?" became a catchphrase that resonated with customers, symbolizing the demand for quality and substance in fast food. The humorous and memorable commercials effectively positioned Wendy's as a superior option, offering bigger and juicier burgers to satisfy the customers. So, the director actually wanted Miss Clara to say, "Where is all the beef?" But because she had emphysema, that was too many words.
It was too much. I didn't know she had emphysema.
Yeah, and it was too hard for her to say. So she had to say, "Where's the beef?"
If she had said, "Where's all the beef?" that would have been awful.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been so catchy.
Yes.
The campaign ended in 1985 after Miss Clara performed in a commercial for Prego pasta sauce saying, "I found it. I really found it." A phrase alluding to the beef in the...
Correct, yes.
Yeah, in the consumer's mind. So then they basically fired her.
Because she went to a different...
Yeah.
Well, that was stupid.
She was a little old lady trying to make all the money she could before she...
stupid Dave Thomas. What are you doing? You need to do better. So that commercial is so iconic, and it was only on for a year.
Yeah, it was not on for...
84 to 85.
It was not on for very long.
And those might be the three most famous words of the 1980s. So where's the beef?
During the commercial's, you know, like height of popularity, the slogan was adopted by Democratic candidate
Walter Mondale.
Yes, and former Vice President Walter Mondale. He was running for president in 1984, and he used the "Where's the beef?" slogan.
Didn't do him any good.
No, it didn't.
Didn't do him any good.
Sweet little Miss Clara had emphysema. She was not an actress. She was used in the background of like a commercial, and she was doing a manicure for somebody in some kind of a commercial in the background, and somebody saw her and thought that she just looked like, you know, like an all-American grandma, that she would be perfect to do this.
She was perfect.
She was.
She was perfect. It was a brilliant, whoever discovered her, right? I would hire them to go discover the next star.
Right.
Because that was brilliant. She was right. Wendy's had bigger burgers than everybody else back then. Mm-hmm. They were square. Everybody else's was round. Mm-hmm. They were thicker. And they're still made fresh today.
Yeah. Yeah, Wendy's burger still something good. So there you go. There are my 10 commercials for this episode.
You picked 10 good ones.
Did I do a good job?
Yeah, you picked 10 really good ones. I can't believe when you said you were going to do this, I'm like, okay, it's your show. You run with it, but I don't know how much I'm going to have to say.
You had a lot to say.
And look at me. Apparently, I had a lot to say.
You sure did.
Apparently, I like commercials.
Yes, you do.
I like commercials from the 80s.
There's nothing wrong with that. So
from toys and games to square hamburgers to...
with the stop at cereal and wine coolers in between.
Right. And then you're going to chew your Big Red to freshen your breath after eating the burger with onions on it.
Yeah, that's right. And drink a little coffee.
Well, this was fun.
This was a ton of fun. So please, if you listen to today's episode and you liked us, it would mean a lot to us if you would go on to whichever platform you listen to us on and give us a 5-star rating. And we would, you know, even love if you would go that extra step and leave us a review. If you would subscribe to our podcast, that helps with the algorithm. So we'll show up for more people.
And yes, tell somebody, you know, spread the word. If you know somebody that might like, you know, nostalgia, or grew up in the 1980s. I will say this, our fan base in Germany has blown up.
I know.
It has grown so cool. Exponentially.
Is it because we talk about West Germany?
I don't know, but it's amazing seeing the stats come through, and we're so happy to have you.
Absolutely.
And we hope that you'll spread the word. Maybe we'll blow up bigger in Germany than we are here in the States. But
then maybe we could go over there for a visit.
Yes, we want to go
see my people.
Yeah, we want to. Well, we're both German, so
yeah,
it would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Go to the motherland. Okay, so if you'd like to reach out to us, tell us about your favorite commercial of the 80s, or if we brought back any memories that you had, you have any personal stories, you can always reach us at children_of_80s on X, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can email us at childrenoftheeighties@gmail.com, and that 80s is not 80 spelled out. It is 80s on all platforms, email and all social media. So reach out to us. Tell us what you liked. And what you missed, and if there are any commercials that you remember that you would like us to put in a part two, let us know that as well, and we will certainly, let's be honest, we'll do it.
Right? Absolutely.
We'll do it. So
absolutely.
So, yeah, we would love to hear from you. But until next time, I'm Jim.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we are
Children of the 80s.